Lobby groups have welcomed the postponement of the firearms control amendment. They believe that the removal of the self-defense clause as the reason to apply for gun license was absurd. The recent decision by Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police to postpone the bill was based on the need for inclusivity to achieve consensus and the requirement that the bill should reflect the views of South Africans as envisaged in the Constitution. We speak to Gun Free South Africa's Adele Kirsten. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mufti, and hello to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Perhaps you could begin by explaining to us again, you know, the gist of the Firearm Control Amendment Bill.
Our analysis of the bill is that it's essentially aimed at reducing the availability of guns. I'm sure, you know, we just have too many guns circulating in our country, too many gun deaths. And if you look at the amendment, the kind of key amendments are about reducing gun availability through tightening up who can own guns, so further restrictions and criteria, so that I guess raising the bar, but also reducing the amount of ammunition you can have, the kinds of guns you can have, and of course also the big one is repealing that section 13, which allows people to apply for a gun for self-defense. So that will have a major impact on gun availability in this country.
Do you see the recent decision to postpone the bill as a sign that Parliament was opposed to strengthening the firearms control amendment?
No, not at all. In fact, the opposite. Gunfree supports the move to delay. And I guess there are two reasons. One is it's clear that much further and much broader consultation is needed. Gunfree South Africa is lobbying that people most affected by gun violence, in particular young people, should be included in these consultations, but also your research community that's sitting with a lot of data that shows the kind of negative impact of the ready availability of guns on our society. But the other thing is what's really important in the policy-making process, and this goes for any law, Mufti, is that you, when the bill comes to Parliament, it really needs to have been thought through very clearly. It should be able to stand constitutional muster. Parliament does not want to have to send a bill back to the executive. You don't want that. That's not a good thing. So them sending it back says, you need to consult more. You need to bring us a bill that's better put together. I mean, for Gunfree and our allies, we think there are lots of opportunities to strengthen the bill. So all in all, we see this as the right thing to do as a positive development.
So what sort of strengthening does the bill require?
Well, there are a couple of, this is the sort of detail of the bill that I'm sure your listeners will be interested. So, for example, with protection orders, if there's an interim protection order against a gun owner who currently has a gun or someone who's about to apply for a gun, the law says that that process must be halted immediately. And then it says that the registrar, who's head of the Central Firearms Registrar, may have the gun removed. That gives the registrar too much discretion. We would argue, and many of the kind of GBV sector organizations, that it needs to be very specific, that the registrar must rather than may. So it's not just that he or she is authorized, but they are obligated. Those are small details, but they're absolutely critical to the extent to which a law really has some teeth. So it's those kinds of details. We also, mainly working with young people in gun violence affected communities, most of the young people we engage with, they want to increase the age from 21 to 25. So I guess those would be two very specific opportunities where we could see the bill could be further strengthened.
So could you perhaps remind us on the issue, you know, that what are your views with regards to gun owners believing that they need a gun for self-protection in light of the high crime rate?
Well, all the data that, the available data that we work with both in South Africa and globally shows that guns are not effective for self-defense, and the opposite, that they bring a risk into the household. And so they're a big source of criminal guns through loss and theft. So this is not the solution. And all it does is increase the number of guns that are available in our society for criminal use.
Yes. So then where does this leave us? What is the way forward? Is there an indication how much time we can expect government to take before the amendment bill will be implemented, or whether there will be changes in the proposed amendments?
So they were given 6 months, from January to end June. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of activity in the first 6 months of next year. Certainly Gun-Free South Africa, we're going to be mobilizing and having consultations with communities, but also our allies in the NGO sector. So the Civilian Secretariat has opened up an invitation for bilateral consultations. So Gun-Free will certainly take up that offer. And I think a lot of the next 6 months is about also looking at the research. There's some interesting research coming out from the Medical Research Council, from people working in this area. So it's going to be a busy time, and I think we would hope that by June next year, we will have a good piece of legislation, an amendment bill that's been widely consulted.
Yes, certainly. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for availing yourself, Adele. Your time appreciated on Radio Islam.
Okay, thanks, Mufti. Good night.
Have a lovely evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So those are the situation, the developments on the gun bill, the Firearm Control Amendment Bill, an issue that has been hotly debated, an issue that I doubt you'll ever get consensus on, whether there's a need for guns for self-protection or whether the presence of a gun brings about certain risks that may not be mitigated in any other way. So that is an ongoing thing, and we'll see where does it leave us.